The gospel lesson today is from John 13, verses 31 to 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of the Lord.
Years ago, I was at a place in my life, I thought life was dumping everything on me, and my reaction was what we often commonly have. I was afraid, and I was angry. I referred to this before, so I'm not going to go into all the details, but I bring it up because it bore fruit in my life going through that time, and I'm still learning the lessons of that, and I think they're still kind of applicable for today as well. In order to deal with that situation, I sought counsel from a nun down at the monastery down south. And when I met with her and poured out all the troubles of my heart, she came back with a rather startling answer to me. She said, "You know, it's going to be all right. God is going to see you through this time. You will come through it." And despite all what I felt were the crushing weight of the world coming down upon me, something about her words spoke to my heart. I found out later why they spoke to my heart. Do you see what she did? She took a vision of the future that was wonderful, that was exactly what I wanted and what I needed in my life, and she held it up for me and made it a reality so that during the weeks that I worked with her, the months that I worked with her, as I healed, that vision kept calling me forward, and to the extent that I could trust that and live out that vision, it began to impact my life right here, right now. I came to realize that those words rang so true to my heart from her lips because as the months went by, I realized she too had walked that path. And this is the way she had become whole, that there was a vision out there that enabled her to live into that right here, right now. That brings us to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is a challenging book, and it has inflamed the imaginations of Christians throughout the centuries. It was a book that was written to Christians when they were just small communities scattered around the Mediterranean world there, and they were facing a time of great fear and what could have been great anger as well, because they were being actively persecuted by the Roman government. They were being martyred, put to death, because of their belief in Jesus Christ. And it seemed all so unfair and all so out of their control. And so John, who wrote the book of Revelation, said he was given a vision by the Spirit, a vision to share with his people. And much of it is so hard to understand, and it's fearsome, and it's allegorical, and it's all this and that. But after it's all said and done, at the very conclusion, we hear these wonderful, wonderful words. And if anything is understandable in the book of Revelation, it should be this, where he says, "Look, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." Doesn't that just pull at your heart? Doesn't that vision just pull you forward? Here it is again, at the very end of it all, despite all the horror that was going on for these poor little Christians in first century, in the first century world. Here was this vision where God's will was going to be done. Here was this powerful, powerful vision that said, God's love wins. And to the extent that they could believe that and trust that and live that, that love became a powerful impactor right here, right now, in this world. And the church not only survived, but it thrived. That brings us to Jesus in the gospel lesson for today. And look what he was doing. Jesus, too, in this lesson, faced a time of great fear and could have had potential anger there as well. How do we know this? The reading starts out simply, it says, after he had left the room, who was he? It was Judas. This story is placed in when Jesus was with his last supper with his chosen and closest disciples and friends, and Jesus knew that one of them was going to betray him. And literally, Judas had walked out the door to go and make the final arrangements to betray Jesus to his death. Jesus knew that his death was within hours. Fear had to be in that room right there. Jesus could have been angry and said, all right, I'm going to be betrayed. We've got to hide, or we've got to go out and get some weapons. We've got to be prepared for this. But no, Jesus in the midst of this has a vision that calls him forward and that he wants to have call his disciples forward as well. In the midst of this fear and this terror and his imminent death, what does he talk about? Love. A new commandment I give you. That you love one another as I have loved you. Love wins. Only love is strong enough to carry us even beyond death. And he trusted this beyond anything. And that brings us to us today. We live in a very fearful and angry, angry time. You just have to look at the campaigning that's going on. We fear terrorists. We fear mad gunmen. We fear so much. And we have all sorts of people giving us all sorts of suggestions on how they can keep us safe. And what we normally look for in times of fear and anger, what is safety and security? And to an extent, that's good. But if those become our primary motivations, they are never, never enough. Anytime my safety, my security becomes the ultimate end and the ultimate goal, I can justify doing anything and everything to anybody else who seems to be a threat to my safety. Do you think in World War II, the German people sat there and went, we are going to be the most evil people in the world and take it over and do terrible things? No. What motivated the German people to follow this madman was that he promised them what? Security and safety. And if you had to kill a few million people in order for it to happen, it seemed perfectly justified until you woke up and realized it was a horrible, horrible nightmare. Only love. Only a love that is concerned not just for my safety and security, but for the safety and security of all. Is big enough to take us where we need to go. The interesting thing is, the Bible, it makes it so clear. In the Bible, the opposite of fear and anger is not safety and security, it is love. In 1 John, it says, there is no fear in love, and perfect love casts out fear. What a vision! Love wins. We know this in our hearts. I had an interesting experience of this fairly recently. Saw the powerful movie Revenant. And I should say spoiler alert, but I'm not. If you haven't seen it by now, sorry. The setup of the movie is real simple. Leonardo DiCaprio, our hero, and his son are working with a band of fur trappers. And the bad fur trapper doesn't like Leonardo and his son. And after Leonardo gets attacked and mauled by a bear, the bad fur trapper uses it as an excuse to kill Leonardo DiCaprio's son and to leave Leonardo DiCaprio dead in a very shallow, shallow grave. And of course, as you know, Leonardo DiCaprio crawls out of that grave and drags himself through the snow-covered mountains, all because he needs to avenge what had been done to him and what had been done to his son. Well, you know how this movie is going to come to the climax of it, right? He is going to find his arch nemesis, and indeed he does. And alone together they are in the snowy woods, and they are by a stream, and they struggle. And Leonardo DiCaprio gets the best of his enemy, and he has the ability to finish him off right then and there. But long before this, something in my gut was saying, the movie cannot just end with a revenge killing. That's not the way these things end. This is not satisfactory to who we are. I was wondering, so what? What's going to switch here? What's going to switch? And right before he is going to kill his enemy there, it's right by a little stream, and he looks down the stream, and here comes a band of Indians on the other side of the stream, downstream. And Leonardo recognizes these guys have also been chasing his enemy because he had mistreated the chief's daughter. And Leonardo lets the guy go, pushes him into the river, and lets him float down to the band of Indians. Not exactly love wins, right? Not exactly, but something in him said, the most important thing is not that I personally take my revenge. That is not enough. We know that. And perhaps in the heat of his anger and his pain, it was almost miraculous that he could feel that little, that amount. Today at the second service, we have the joy of confirming another class of our young people there. We work hard with them over the years to share what we think is important about the faith. Sometimes I think the young people think, well, all we're doing is filling them full of a bunch of facts and figures about the faith, you know, Bible stories and the catechism, the Ten Commandments and the Creed and all that stuff. And we are. That's all important. But if that's all we get across to them, we have failed. We also try to make our classes, our teaching, interactive and fun, and the kids always like that. And they, when we do the evaluation at the end of the year, we always ask, what would you like more of? And they always say, more of the games, more of the fun stuff that we did. And that's important because the faith that we have should be joyful. But if that's all we've led them to believe, that the faith is fun, we have failed them. We even try to let the young people know that our faith is something that we live out in service, and we have service projects that are built into the program so that they actually can experience this and know the joy of serving it. And that's wonderful, but even if that is what they took away, it is not enough. What I hope we do in confirmation is impart this bigger picture, the only picture that is broad enough, that is to pull them forward and see them through whatever is going on in their life. And that is the fact that in the end, love wins. God's love wins. And that we've imparted to them this vision that if they trust it, if they begin to live into it, that vision becomes part of their life right here and right now. I hope that for all our young people who confirm their faith today, what they are confirming, along with all of us, is that God's love is winning, and we will commit our life to that, and that will make all the difference. Amen.